back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are seeing the sunshine over Camden Yards, right around the corner from my wife got her vaccine the other day. Bill Cole and I are lining up and queuing up here. I'm drinking a little Rofo coffee in my Cole Roofing mug here. I haven't worked on the new mug. The new mug's too high. I prefer the traditional mug. And, of course, Gordian Energy, we spent a long time last week, Bill, discussing life after COVID and solar energy after COVID and baseball after COVID and maybe even football after COVID. Some thoughts about Mr. Hogan saying, open for business.
Yeah, I would. I'm the type who needs a little bit of background info. Like I don't know if we've developed into. I think my profile is I'm a permanent skeptic, but like.
Fair enough. I agree with that. I've known you a decade or more. Yeah,
it has to be some kind of math algorithm, right? Where like number of people coming positive, some kind of buffer for those who just. Stops getting tested now, right? Because they it's not a big deal. They either have it or they don't. So they quarantine for 2 weeks and they never get a test. And then
I've
the number
never
of
had
people
a COVID test,
vaccinated.
Just so you know. I don't know whether I'm antibody or like, wouldn't that be the first thing they should do is figure out whether I've had it or not, or does that not matter? Dr. Cole.
Apparently it doesn't matter, but I have had one test. Actually, I had two tests at the same time, right? So you get the rapid, and then because jamming a Q-tip into your brain isn't quite delightful enough, they do it a second time, which was actually less painful than the first time because I think the first time she actually created a new hole, and that was painful.
See,
the second
this is
time,
why I've not had it happen
hole.
Because, like, there's nowhere I need to go that much that I need to have that happen. Right? So yeah. I'll just stay home. I'm good. You know, I'll just go Wise to go groceries, and they'll deliver them here. It'll be all good. You know, I don't need to move.
We complain about it, but it really wasn't that big of a deal. So for me, when Governor comes out and says that, it's like, cool. Like, I'm really excited. I'm disheartened by the number of people who can take what is seemingly a really positive statement and then still find negativity in it. Like that stuff just drives me absolutely bonkers. Like I know it's not perfect, but holy cow, like this is that's a pretty good step. Maybe it's not as exciting as he made it sound because
maybe it's not the right step. If you feel like, why don't we wait another 60 days and get everybody a shot here? You know,
That's why I say I need
I
the
don't
mask
have a shot
problem.
Yet. You don't have a shot. Most people I know don't have a shot yet. Right. So we're all still pretty vulnerable to this. Theoretically, if we also go start eating inside and acting like fools. Right.
But that's kind of the background information that I guess you or I are looking for. Right. Like, what are you telling me? You're telling me that it's a acceptable risk at this point. Right. Like,
look, there are people who did not have a problem wearing a mask, and there are people who had a major problem wearing a mask. The people with a major problem wearing a mask are going to rip it off the minute the governor says go. The other people like me are going to walk through the city like I did on a 70-degree night on Tuesday night with a mask on and say, this isn't over. My wife just got a shot the other day. She just got done getting sick from her shot from Saturday night. Okay, it's March. You know, I can wait till July. I'm good. I mean, I'm going to get a shot at some point. I'm thinking in May or June. I'm guessing, you know, just guessing that at some point it will happen. I see people every day lining up out the window. I see Alaska's open 16 plus now. You know, I'll get a shot in me. I'll be cool. And by July 1st, you and I'll be eating a crab cake in Easton somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, quick public service announcement is like, for all the people that are getting the vaccines, like all I'm hearing is pretend like you're sick, really hydrate.
Or you're going to be sick.
Yeah.
Get the shot at 4 in the afternoon. You're going to be sick at midnight. Like,
yeah. Like get extra rest, plan for it accordingly, super hydrate. And you know, they seem to fare better, but I think the other, okay. So that was public service. This is public complaint. Like, I understand that we have a criteria that we've applied to the vaccine and this is the order that we're going to go in. And I totally recognize that there's some challenges around that. Mostly like technical savviness, right? Because it sounds like it's easier to get an appointment if you go on the internet than it is to pick the phone up and call someone. And we all know that the group that we primarily are trying to vaccinate first are much more apt to pick up the phone and call someone than they are to go on the internet to book an appointment. So forget that for a second. But I don't understand. Like, I read an article the other day that in Harford County, they were setting up a mass vaccine site, and then they canceled it like 2 or 3 days. And I could be off on some of the specifics here, but like canceled the site 2 or 3 days out because they determined that 90% of the people that signed up for appointments did not qualify. They were not in the right group. Right. And I get that to a certain extent, but I also kind of feel like the overwhelming drive right now is like, let's get as many people vaccinated as possible.
If you told me right now my date was May 10th, okay. You know, that's cool. And if you're, you know, May 3rd, I'm not pissed at you. I'll be there May 10th. Tell me where to stand and I'll get there an hour ahead of time and I'll get my shot and it'll be cool. Like, I think part of this is that people are signing up ahead of time just saying, you know, if it's not tomorrow, just make me an appointment on April 23rd. Put me wherever in the queue I need to be. But part of this was productivity, right? I mean, a month ago, we were still freezing these shots and there's 2 shots. And I mean, this thing has changed dramatically, like all things in life change, right? Like, I felt like all along, once the shots started coming, it wouldn't be so much trouble to get a shot. You know, by August, everyone that wants a shot will have a shot. I really believe that at this
point. Yeah. I agree. I, my frustration with them canceling this site is as long as somebody tells me, you know, I don't know if it was 1,000.
What's canceling the site mean? Did they email you back and say you're off the queue or what do they
do? I don't know. I didn't try. I just read the article that they canceled it. But my question is, okay, are they 100% sure that all the vaccines that were going to be allocated for that site then got allocated somewhere else and got put in someone else's arm that day? Because if that didn't happen, then what in the hell are we really doing, right? You know, I mean, here's whether it was 1,000 or 2,000 or 3,000 people. And I understand apparently 90% of them weren't in the right grouping, which is, I get it. But still, the goal is to get people vaccinated. So if you screwed up and you gave appointments to people that weren't qualified or didn't have the right criteria, shouldn't you just, I don't know. I don't know what the right answer to that is, right? But my question is,
the right answer is don't be a dumbass and sign up someplace you shouldn't.
But that's not how the rest of the world works. The rest of the world works like if I'm not able to sign up, why would the system allow me to sign up? That's the way the world works. If I'm not able to buy this, it won't let me buy it. If I'm not, you know, like I'm going to go on. I don't know the rules. I haven't read all the criteria. All I keep hearing is like, if you show up at the CVS at 6 o'clock in the evening, if they got any extra ones, they'll just do it. They'll get you, right? Because you can't refreeze them. So we don't want to throw them away. And you know, it's crazy, right? We all have never went through this. All I just want
to. The only thing close to this is when Stones tickets go on sale. You know what I mean? It's the only thing I have to compare this to, literally. Bill Cole is here, Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. Do you want to do some more COVID? Because I'm about to like step out and do some fun things here this summer. And have you and I talked about crab cakes before? Have
we have. This? Yeah, we have.
What's your favorite crab cake? Where are you going?
So I am, strangely enough, probably one of the spoiled Baltimore people who just like crab cakes are okay. If I really want a crab cake, I probably go to the store and buy the crab meat and take it home and make it myself.
Get some Tessie Mays, some mustard and some mayonnaise. And yeah. Like, you have a little, you have your own little parsley, whatever you do with it, right?
Yeah. Well, mine's really old school, traditional, back of the Old Bay recipe, back of the can recipe.
So what is that? Celery seed, mayonnaise, mustard,
I'm not even sure. It's that little Worcestershire, a little mustard.
See, a lot of people really frown on the Worcestershire, a lot of people. By the way, I was over at Fadley's and, they're showing me their traditional crab cake method. And I mentioned like, hey, down at, wherever, Timbuktu, wherever, they put pimento in there. Oh. It's like heresy, you know? It's like having a crab cake without Old Bay. Oh my God, you can't do that. And I'm like, no. You know, I had Al from Chad Seafood. I was talking to him about crab cakes last week, and he told me that, you know, he's been a part of a lot of these competitions where, you know, you go and you make it and they, you know, you win a prize or whatever. He said, Nestor, I was at a place last year. They put relish in a crab cake. I couldn't believe it. And I'm like, man, you know, there's some creativity. So I'm feeling like at some point, if I travel enough and talk to enough people, people are going to come up with different kinds of crab cakes that maybe I've never even had that might be good. I don't know. You know,
I do enjoy, if you're out of town and you're somewhere else and crab cakes are on the menu.
Oh, don't do it.
No. See, I actually enjoy that.
Don't do that.
I think that's fun.
Dude, you're right? A masochist, dude.
It's the same fun. It's like, look at this. You can sit around.
Crab cake.
Right. You can sit around and you kind of like, you know, give them a hard time about it.
They didn't even got any meat in it.
I mean, I think that's funny. I don't know. Somewhere along the way, you stopped deep frying them and you went to broiled, and that, you know, is going to save us all. But
no. My mom, I don't eat enough crab cakes to worry about broiled or fried. I'm fried always.
Right. My mom's fried crab cakes, you know, growing up as a kid, that's the same one. And that's good enough for me. Right. So I think the other part is seeing, like, when they do this, the real lumpy crab cake, you know, it's almost like I'm too spoiled at that point. Like, the only time you ever get that kind of lump.
Indonesia. You got it. You know what I mean? Like, there's a little bit of that going on. Right. And I'm going to, at least this summer, I'm not going to shine a spotlight on the people using Chinese crab meat, because that is going on. But I am going to shine a spotlight on the people using local and Maryland crab meat, you know, because I think in July, that's going to be a very Baltimore positive story for me.
Yeah. You know?
And I've learned this. Damie Hahn taught me this. And this is going to be part of the whole educational platform that you've helped us here with the coal roofing. And the oysters apparently are a huge, huge factor in the oxygenation of the bay and the grasses in the bay, that oysters are the key to crabs. And along life's highway, I'm going to get with people smarter than me who went to school for this sort of thing, and Hooper's Island, and I'm going to learn about crabs this summer, and I'm going to learn about crab picking. So that's just a little thing I'm doing this summer. I'm not doing 30 ballparks in 30 days, but I might do 30 crab cakes in 30 days.
I like it. It sounds like a lot of fun. I think my problem is when I get the really lumpy crab cake and the back fin piece is like
totally
intact, right? Like, that back fin lump of crab meat is totally intact. I feel it is unfair because I didn't have to break it apart, pull it out just right, you know, and get that really, you know, the once or three or four times through the 2 hours of picking crabs where you actually get the back fin to come out in full glory.
Dude, I'm from Dundalk, man. Whatever piece of meat, I mean, I didn't leave one little shred of meat in my claws anywhere because my parents bitched at me. There's meat in there. Get that out of there. You know?
I know.
So I'd be in there scraping and doing it all. But I'm looking forward to crab season. I'm looking forward to sunshine. I'm looking forward to – are you going to go to an Oriole game this year? I've been asking that question to people too because they're opening up now. So, like, opening day is April 8th. You can write that down. Oh, opening day is April 1st. In Boston, opening day here is April 8th. How many opening days since Camden Yards is the 30th opening day? Camden Yards, by the way, the 30th. How many of you attended?
I'll guess 15.
Yeah, I'd say most. I've been to 22 or 20, you know, 25. I mean, there's been a handful I didn't go to for whatever reason, especially after they took my press pass. But
does it count if I'm like in the bar across?
Did you take the day off of work? If you took the day off,
I never take the day off of work. I leave work early, right? And it's a businessman special. I'll probably do some networking or meet some business friends or whatever. But the debate would really be, does it count if you didn't actually go in the stadium? Because I probably did that more than I actually went into the game.
Let me say this about opening day. It used to be you couldn't, you know, there were 48,000 tickets and there were 148,000 people who wanted to be there. Then there were 48,000 tickets and there were 60,000 people that wanted to be there, right? It was a $200 get in. Then it was a $75 get in. Then the team stunk and the old man ran it into the river. And then they would hold tickets back. Joe Enoch and I would laugh about this every year. The night before opening day, they would release 10,000 tickets and you could get in for $18. And it was all cool, right? So the last couple of 5 years, the last couple of 17, 18, 19 years, there have been 48,000 tickets and about 38,000 people that want to go. So there have been lots and lots of empty seats. I'm wondering this year, nobody's done anything, right? And anything. And this is outside. Maybe the weather is nice. Probably it'll be 60 plus. I mean, I don't think it's going to be a 42 degree day on April 8th at 3 p.m. I'm really wondering when Uncle Larry says, all open, and Brandon says, screw you, Uncle Larry, because that's what's going to happen, right? The next fight is, you're not opening my stadium to 100% capacity. You're out of your mind. So that now the political fight between Brandon and Larry, which is getting a little spicy, good for Brandon. I mean, he should fight back at this point because Larry doesn't do anything for the city except put it in peril, as he's doing now. And I wonder what the scene – downtown Baltimore, I haven't seen anybody. My wife and I walk last night, tonight, every night through downtown Baltimore. We walked through the Inner Harbor on Tuesday night, Bill, at 7:20. We walked back from Amici's. It was National Meatball Day. I got some leftovers if you need some. Or you can get fresh if you want. But we walked from Amici's through the Inner Harbor, past Ruth's Chris, across the bridge, across the aquarium bridge, around the World Trade Center, and it's the first time in my life, in my life, and I've never done it at 4 a.m. when there would be no one there. I look out the window and see it. I didn't see a literal human being at 7:20 on a Tuesday night. It was 67 degrees. I was wearing a little sweatshirt, and we walked about 6 blocks without seeing a human. It was really spooky. And I've walked in all sorts of weather. I've walked across that bridge thousands of times, and I've never not seen anybody, ever. It was like War of the Worlds. We're walking in front of the aquarium, and there wasn't one human at 7 p.m. You still see the dusk. I mean, the sun hadn't fully set. And I'm thinking to myself, all right, Camden Yards behind me. The day that everybody's here is opening day, right? That's the day it gets crowded and there's people, 4th of July, you know, before the fireworks or whatever. But I really wonder what it's going to look like on April 8th, given the baseball team, the fact that they don't promote themselves. There's been no spring training. People are a little queasy about coming out and touching each other. But this is something where the Orioles are going to put their tickets on sale and say, all right, $50, come on downtown. Come the opening day. I'm really wondering if they cap it at 20,000, will they sell all 20? I don't know. I don't know how Jones people are to want to go do it. And you can go the next night too, or the next night once it's open. But I'm really wondering who's going to want to go to a ball game.
My sense is that it'll probably be at like 50% capacity. So what's that like?
22,000, whatever. Yeah, 22,000.
Right. And I think they'll sell out that. Whether all those people show, I don't know.
What'll create demand for the tickets?
Yeah, whether like that Russell Street, and then I forget what they call that little road in between the hotel. And, you know, that's like where it gets pretty crowded with people. I think it'll be lots of people, man. Like, I think that group is generally...
Well, that means that the plague's over, right? If you go to an Oriole game, sort of, right? I mean, I'm telling you, if you go to an Oriole game and you get to hang out on April 8th and Uncle Larry opened the state today, people are getting shots. 100 million people got shots now in the country, right? Like, I think we start to smell, you know, the beer at Merriweather, the trip to Vegas that you don't want to go, but you really do, or whatever that thing is we haven't done. Like, why... Eating indoors, hugging strangers, I don't know. I mean, like that April 8th would, for Baltimore, I think opening day has a psychological meaning for a guy our age, right?
I think a fair amount of the people who would typically fill those streets on opening day have been relatively bravado through the whole thing anyway, right? Like they know they're not over 65, so they're not too scared of a bad outcome. You know, they got to be out there making a living, doing stuff anyway. One of them, I remember if it was like Samuel Jackson or one of them made a commercial, and it's like these young people. Well, I had a really tough week at work. COVID won't kill me. It's only one night. This was like early on public service, commercials about the COVID. And I definitely think it'll be okay. Everyone's getting vaccinated. We're going down there, especially like if the weather's nice. Yeah. Like it'll be crowded down there.
Super spreader. Bill Cole is here. Gordian Energy and our friends at Cole Roofing. I'm almost out of coffee, which means the segment gets to the end. You and I had a go about solar last week. We talked more about it. My wife and I traveled up to Pennsylvania and Oxford, like Kennett Square, Trumplandia, as I call it. I saw Joe Biden in a jail cell and Trump with a machine gun. It was wonderful, Southeast PA. Lovely up there. I guess getting out and about and seeing the countryside and seeing where people are and seeing freedom. We brought back a bunch of food. Philadelphia completely, like, active. Like, drove through Philly and curbsided food. I have never seen more people. Like, there's not that concentration of people in Baltimore. I don't know. Maybe Ocean City in the summer or whatever. But I went to another city for the first time in a year, and there were just cars and people walking around. I mean, masks, but, like, I was shocked at how much activity in another city. I haven't been anywhere in Baltimore other than the vaccine site where there's been that many people in one place at one time.
So that bears the question, did you have to come back in quarantine because you stepped over an imaginary line?
No, I didn't get out of the car except to go pee and grab
it. I'm joking. But I mean, the idea is, did we remove all the state travel restrictions? Like, what are the rules on that right now? Like, that's the other part that creates chaos moving forward, more rules that we have to sort of interpret and figure out and what's okay and what's not okay. And
I had a $49 flight to Hawaii, about 3 months ago. And I looked, and my wife looked up, like, what would we have to do to go to Hawaii? I don't know. I'm sure I could have gotten a plane and landed and shown up. They're not going to throw me out of Hawaii.
One of my guys went to Hawaii. Like he got married in the beginning of the pandemic, couldn't go on their honeymoon. They delayed as long as they could. And finally they had to pull the trigger, like, right after New Year's. They had to fly to LA. They had to stay in LA for a day, go to a testing site run by the airline. I guess it was like Hawaiian Air or whoever runs to Hawaii. They had to get their test, had to come back negative so they could get on a plane to go out. To go to Hawaii. On the way back, no testing, no one cared. Like, as long as you're leaving, it's fine.
Bring back coconut, pineapple, and any disease you want. Absolutely. Right. Tell everybody what's going on in the solar world. Because the reason I brought up Southeast Pennsylvania is I saw solar panels everywhere. People with a Trump sign and a solar panel. So I know it's not Democratic to be.
Maybe a couple weeks ago, it was very much just sort of like a popular concept and thing to talk about. And then you go through the terrible stuff that went on in Texas, and people are spouting off about how it's renewable energy's fault, even though the natural gas heads are freezing. Just total goofiness. And then now,
dishonesty, as I like to call it.
Yeah, I think it's lies. Just uneducated.
I like calling lies lies. I'm old fashioned like that.
Uneducated and lobbyist driven, right? So then you get sort of far enough down the path now where, okay, yeah, we all thought that was a good idea. Let's do something about it. And now we're starting to run into all the arguments around, you and I are both pro-solar, but you don't think it should go on agriculture land, and I think it should. You think it should only go on rooftops, and I think well, we're going to have to use some of the ag land. And so those are now, that's now where the discussion's gone to. I'm seeing more arguments around, this is actually in a different state, but, you know, like the policies and how things get measured and what happens to the infrastructure and the utility and how things get paid for. So it, you know, it's a little bit of friction, but it's healthy friction.
Is it not,
right?
a solar friendly government at this point? Government is much more friendly to fossil fuels than to solar, right?
It's so localized that it really depends on like what county or municipality. Wow. I mean, it's okay. very localized. And most of the arguments are like fair arguments to have. You know, we've never done this before, so we should probably think about it for a second before we just let either we just shut it down and don't let anything happen because, you know, we're not willing to take the time to figure it out, or we just let everybody go. And we know that there'll be bad actors in there, right? There'll be people who are trying to take advantage of farmers or, you know, local county.
Put some plexiglass BS out on my farm that doesn't work, right? Literally.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you have to have the consumer protection, you know, concepts, and we have to figure out what the right usage is. So, you know, I mean, I've been having this discussion for 12 years, right? Like we've been educating people for 12 years in the state of Maryland. So the activity is way up. Tons of people are calling. And again, we don't do any residential. So when I say tons of people are calling, that's a pretty significant shift. Like for a while, people.
Well, COVID probably pushed that along to say, all right, during this period of time, I made transitions. We've all made transitions. If you have time on your hands right now, if you're a business owner, to say, what are my expenses and who am I paying it to? I've done that with my own business, right? We're all doing that.
And interestingly enough, in a relative state of chaos, right? So we are still very much in a state of chaos. You know, like everyone keeps telling me how great the economy is going to be, and there's all this pent up demand, and it's going to be crazy. And
everybody's going to want to go to the Oriole game.
Yeah, I mean the market's up. Oh no, the market's down. What's going on with inflation? Blah blah blah. I mean, there's tons of chaos out there. So for business owners to look at the landscape and decide how to make a capital investment, you know, do I buy more trucks? Do I buy another building? You know, that those are the type of projects that solar competes against, because it really is just like an investment. And strangely enough, like the level of chaos around the solar decision is really less. Like it stays pretty steady no matter what the environment is. So now when these other things, there's a little more chaos and a little more friction around whether I should buy another truck, or like, is business going to be good 6 months from now, or is it going to suffer? Da, da, da. Like solar, like we're the same. We've been the same. Here's what our returns look like. Like, unless you're worried about the sun not coming up, we are pretty much the same every day. So now we
it's
present
a reliable cost is what.
Yeah. 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 I mean, you know, and I love the, like, you're right. It is dark at night. Yes, we don't create power at night. It's going to be okay, right? Like we've solved for this, but we are pretty stable. So I think the attractiveness to making that investment has gone up relative to the chaos that exists on a lot of the other decisions. You know, like, what are you doing with commercial real estate right now? Like, do you really want to build another building? Do you really want to renovate your space? Like, are people coming back? Are they staying home? Do we need more clinics? Do we need more you know, like there's a lot of unsettledness out there. But what I can tell you is, if you have an existing stock of buildings and you put solar on them, they're going to make you more money than they did previously. That's, you know, that's less friction than whether or not, you know, tenants are going to renew their lease, or how I'm going to have to rework the space for, you know, more spread out desks or things like that. So
that was an impressive sales pitch you just gave me, dude.
Do you know why it's impressive? Because everything about solar is meant to be helpful. If it's not helpful, then you don't, you shouldn't buy
it. Don't pay PG&E. Right. Yeah.
It's the same as roofing. Nobody wants to buy a roof, right? Like, but you have to have one. So let's figure out the best one and the best way for you based on whatever your criteria is, and let's do it, because you got to have it. Solar, you don't have to have, but it only enhances. So if it doesn't enhance, then stop. Let's stop wasting our time on it, right? Like let's go get your energy. Right, exactly. Yeah, let's just go get our energy somewhere else.
Bill Cole is here. He is Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. I've got the coffee mug here. I am completely out of Rofo coffee in my cup. I want to give a shout out to Wise Markets and our Wise Conversations now for their incredible sponsorship here this year. We'll be telling you more about that. My wife and I will be eating better and spending less. I promise you. Billy, rest up here this week. We'll get back after it next week. One more week closer to March Madness. Apparently, they're playing basketball next week. Maryland, too. Mount St. Mary's as well. So some things, it's like been a year of shutdown, right, to this week, right? A year that like, well, let's rev up the March Madness we didn't have last year. Let's have the opening day we didn't have last year. Let's have the beach thing we didn't do last year. So whatever it is, I do feel like half of my relationship is vaccinated. The other half, we'll figure it out. And between now and then, you and I will get together every week and try to fix the world. How about that?
Appreciate you, brother. I enjoyed it. Thanks.
Bill Cole joining us here. He is Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. You can find him at coleroofing.com. You can find me and him both together at baltimorepositive.com.